Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so we're in our second week as we have about 5 weeks here in the book of Haggai. So remember what our setting is very briefly. Jerusalem was sacked by the Babylonians in 587 BC, and the city's destroyed, and that included the temple. And a large group of Judeans were exiled to Babylon. And so this was not unexpected, right? This was God's just response for the idolatry and faithlessness of the people. He'd been warning them. He'd been sending prophets to warn them about this for centuries. He'd told them nearly 900 years before, earlier, he told Moses, this is the cost for breaking the covenant. Covenant not only included blessings, there were also covenant curses that would be enacted if the agreement was broken. People broke it. God warned them over and over again, and eventually he had to enact the covenant curses, and it was very bad. And that's what we spent all of Lent talking about, is how bad that was. But also don't forget that he continually, through all that, promised to preserve a remnant of the people. So he promised to remember his earlier covenant with Abraham and send this mysterious Messiah who would lead and save and suffer for the remnant, for all the people, but the remnant would be preserved forever. And then in 538 BC, that's an important date, it's 1 year after Babylonians are conquered by Cyrus and Persians, and Cyrus had declared an end to the exile. He said they could go, Judeans can go back. And some of them did. You know, they were exiled long enough that a lot of them had never even lived in Jerusalem. You know, they'd spent their whole lives in exile. That's home for them now. But there was a steady stream, a trickle of people that went back. And then by our text, we're 18 years after that, 520 BC. And 18 years after they're allowed to go back, they still haven't taken any action to rebuild the temple. And God felt like he'd been very patient. He'd given them plenty of time. But the leaders, the governor, the high priest, they're building like luxury houses and palaces for themselves, but they have no plans at all to rebuild the temple. So God punished them. He sent famine and created bad economic conditions. He sent Haggai to tell them that that's what's going on August 29th, 520. So that was last week's text. Now you're caught up. Well, let's see what happens next. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obey the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. So that's not really what we're used to seeing as we've been working our way through these minor prophets lately. We've seen episode after episode where people are doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or they're not doing something they should be doing, and so God sends word to them that he's displeased, and their response is usually to just continue to rebel. But here, God speaks, and the people obey. God sent word through his prophet. The people listened. They believed the word. They trusted it as God's word and feared the Lord. And then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, "I am with you," declares the Lord. Now, this is a big deal. So notice first, I pointed this out last week too, the emphasis here on the word. Haggai is clearly God's messenger. He doesn't have any word or message of his own. He's God's messenger. He's he's speaking the word of the Lord alone. He spoke it last week, and it did what it was supposed to do, did its work. The people fear the Lord. They obey the Lord. And now he's speaking them another message, and it's a major development. It's big news. "I am with you," declares the Lord. So the worst thing that can happen in the Bible is for God not to be with you. So you go all the way back to Exodus, right? And when the people have made the golden calf down at the bottom of the mountain, and God says, "Well, you just go on to the land. I'm not going with you." And Moses says, "Well, Well, we might as well not even go. That's the whole point. The whole thing is off if you're not going. So one of the most, the biggest, most important points of the whole Bible is that God is supposed to be with his people. And then you keep reading along and we get to Ezekiel and God left. Right before the Babylonians come and sack the city, God left the temple and he wasn't, you know, with them anymore. But now Haggai says, in Haggai, he starts to speak again, and the people listen, they obey. He sends Haggai to preach the gospel to them after all these decades. Now, finally, I am with you, declares the Lord. The temple hasn't even been rebuilt yet. But in this declaration, the declaration makes God present. Okay. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. All right, again, not quite what we've grown used to seeing here, but this is good. It's everybody is the point. It's the elites, you know, the ones who have constantly gotten Israel into trouble. It's their civil leader. It's their religious leader. And also the entire people, the remnant, right? So they're all doing what God said to do. And they're doing it because God has spoken his word through his prophet, his messenger, and they heard the word. They've taken it to heart. In that word, God has stirred their spirits, and that divine stirring then bears fruit. What do? They get up. They go get to work. And this took place on a specific day, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, on the second year of Darius the king. So on our calendar, that's September 21st, 520 BC. So it's just 3 weeks, just over 3 weeks from the first message. They're already building a new temple. It's quite a project to build a temple, probably if you've never done that before. So I think, you know, to get it up and going in 3 weeks is pretty good. So they've never, you know, they'd never built a temple before. They'd never really, as a group, acted like they believed they were the Lord's remnant. They'd never, you know, they'd always been pretty satisfied and happy to just sort of meld in with the rest of their surrounding culture. But now something new has happened. And I think it's important for us to see in this passage, not just something that God did one time, but this is a pattern. This is how God does things. So try to keep track of the flow of the text, right? God sends his messenger with his word. Haggai speaks. The people receive the word with due fear of the Lord. They repent. They believe what they've heard. God keeps speaking. And in his speaking, he's with them. He's present with the people in his word. And that word stirs their spirits to action. It shapes them into the remnant that God promised to create. And then as that faithful remnant formed by the word of God, they start doing things they'd never done before. So they actually obeyed. They acted on the word they'd heard. So yes, looking back, we already know that they're going to drift from the word and the will of God again. And that this story isn't the end of the story. This isn't where God most powerfully and completely fulfills his promises. This remnant will dwindle. Eventually, the entire remnant is one dead man on a cross. And again, then the hopes and dreams of the people are brought to rubble. And it will appear as if God has abandoned them again. And in a sense, he won't be with them. But the pattern repeats. See, so on the third day, God returns to the rubble and returns to the ruins in power greater than we had ever seen on earth before. But he came in power not to enact vengeance, but to speak. You see it in our gospel lesson today. He came to speak. Peace be with you, he says. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. See, he speaks with them. He's present with them. He's stirring their spirit in this word. And it's the reason that we're all sitting here right now today is that they listened and they believed. They became this new remnant, the living, breathing temple of the Lord on earth. And they took the word of repentance and forgiveness to all nations, just like he said. And that word somehow made it down through the centuries all the way to people like you and to me. And that same pattern then, the same word still goes forth, still has power to stir spirits, to bring about new realities. It's actually happening right now. See, I've been called here today to declare to you that in your hearing of this word, the Lord is with you. Our crucified, risen Messiah, Jesus, is with you, speaking to you, taking your sins away. He's shaping you to be his remnant in the midst of rubble, ruin. God is with you, but he doesn't just come to hang out. He comes to stir your spirit towards something new. In a culture that seems to me to be dead set on destroying itself, a society that clearly prefers Babylon to Jerusalem, Jesus still comes and speaks to you. And he says, be my temple. Make your household a suitable dwelling place for me. Make your house a house of word and prayer. Make your life a life of repentance and forgiveness, and strengthen and be strengthened by the rest of the remnant, you know, these people you see to your left and to your right. And you do that, who knows what can happen? So new things can happen. Maybe you've never been a particularly devotional type of a person, or maybe you've been part of a church, but you never really felt like you were part of the family at the church. You struggled to put faithful practices in place in your home to shape your life and the lives of your family, your children, or you lack self-discipline or self-control or motivation to take on worthy tasks for the kingdom of God, whatever it is, whatever in the world you've been feeling like. In his word, Christ is with you. And when Christ is with you, new realities can be created, new lives lived, new bonds and communities formed, spirits stirred, all sorts of new action, from civil action to church action, from relationships with people in your everyday life to you, your own body and soul. The word and the presence of Christ brings new life out of ruins. And today, Christ is with you. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.